Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. We've got our guest, Bree. He's going to come on up. And my brother, Josh, and Cheryl Gallison is going to come up. And we're just going to share a little bit with you today about one of our mission points. We are a church that deeply believes in missions, right? We look forward to opportunities to be able to follow God's command to take care of the poor. But it's also one of those things where we also believe that God has called us to be generous and to be a blessing to other people. And so one of the mission points, we have 10 different mission points that we support here at Grace Community. And some of them are local because we believe that we should be in local missions also, not just foreign missions, but we also have foreign missions. And one of the local missions that we support is Watered Gardens. And it is one that we've participated in for quite a long time, and we actually anticipate here in a couple years we're going to have even greater involvement with them, and also through True Charity, which is connected to Watered Gardens. And we just wanted to make sure that you understood what kind of stuff that is going on, and also be aware of opportunities to be able to serve. Because we, are a church that serves, and there are opportunities to serve here, but there are also some opportunities to serve in our local missions. And so we wanted to just kind of get you informed, make sure that you knew of some opportunities, because we've got good people here. And I think that sometimes it's just nice knowing what kind of things you might be getting into, because it's a foreign place and it's people that you don't know. Sometimes just hearing somebody else talk about what their experience there is like, and you go, oh man, I can do that. I can be the hands and feet of the Lord in that way. I've got time, I've got skills, I've got knowledge that I can do. And so let me go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll hear a little bit about what happens just across the state line. So Father God, we come before you today grateful that we do not have the kind of need that the people that are served by Watered Gardens have. Some of us, we're just very fortunate. We haven't had the traumatic events happen. We haven't had the broken relationships. And you've been very generous to us. But as a church, Father, we know that we have a responsibility to help and to assist and take care of those who are less fortunate. And so help us, Father, to be mindful. Help us to be generous. Help us to give not just with our money, but also with our time, with our prayers, with our attention. And so we thank you, Father, for the ministry of Watered Gardens. We know that they tend to people in very pragmatic ways, but we understand that they see people as souls that need to be tended to, not just mouths to feed. And so I pray a blessing upon our conversation today, and as part of that, I pray, Father, that there will be people who will be moved to support in one way or another more deeply this very valuable, very important ministry that you've planted just so close to us. So we pray a blessing upon today, Father. We thank you for our ladies who are in retreat, and we pray safe travels back for them. In your name I pray. Amen. So I thought at first I would just kind of turn things over to Bree to kind of give an idea, kind of an overview of what is Watered Gardens, and kind of how did it get established in Joplin, and what are kind of the core missions and values of Watered Gardens?
Yeah, so Watered Gardens Ministries, we exist to serve the church and its mission to help the poor in Jesus' name. So our values are relationship, redemption, hope, and human dignity. We believe that everyone should be in a relationship with God. One should be relationship with others, redemption, everyone should be in relationship with God. Hope that everyone should see an end to their poverty, whether that's a poverty of financial means or spiritual means, and human dignity. So even though someone may not look like us or necessarily smell like us, they were designed by God, and we should treat them that way. So Watered Gardens walks that out in several different ways. We have an outreach center, which is your traditional kind of homeless shelter, where we have close to 40 men's beds, 10 women's beds, and a respite unit for people coming out of sickness of the hospital or some sort of recovery. Within that, we also do day outreach. So someone could come in for a shower. They could come in and grocery shop. They could go to our Worth shop and into Garden Exchange, where Ms. Cheryl spends a lot of her time, and shop for clothing. Or say someone gets a job and they don't have the proper workwear. So they can do all of that through what we call a partnership. So rather than handing someone a box of food and never knowing their name or their story or how they got to Watered Gardens, we partner alongside them. So we have volunteers and we have staff that are in our Worth shop where people are partnering. So say someone just needs a shower, well, they're gonna partner for about 15 minutes. And so they may think, I'm just here for a shower, but the way that God has prepared a volunteer in that Worth shop area that's working on a craft with them to know their name and to get to know their story is a really beautiful thing to watch people walk through. And so outside of that, we have our Forge Center for Virtue and Work, because we realize that in our community, we need more men who are virtuous and know how to work. So we had guys coming into the outreach center that were getting jobs and losing jobs and getting jobs and losing jobs. And it was because they had no skills. They were staying in the shelter and partnering with us, but not working on specific job skills. And so the Forge, they learn Christian foundation principles. They learn job skills. They learn how to show up on time. They learn how to talk to people again. And so that's an 18-month program, give or take, where they go through four phases. And we also have our Washington Family Hope Center for moms and kids. Now we started that with just 6 rooms for a mom and up to 4 kids, and now we've expanded to a second story with 9 more rooms, and those rooms have a huge waiting list. So there's a huge need over there that we're working to fill right now. And through all of those efforts, we were realizing it was really awesome to see people come in and engage and want to walk alongside us and walk out of their poverty, but then the other people left because they could go next door and receive the handout and not have to engage with someone and talk about their trauma and talk about what they're doing at Watered Gardens. And so we wanted to really approach that, because it was great that half were staying but half were leaving, and how do we engage with those people and have dignified conversations with them. And that's where our True Charity Initiative began, which is a national initiative that we have partner organizations, churches, and nonprofits. Over 200 organizations are part of that network across the U.S. that have said, hey, I want to do this differently. I want to build relationships rather than just feed hungry people, because we're all hungry people. And so we want to get to know people and get to know their story and why they're repetitively coming back into programs and see people escape poverty and come back into their own standing.
I know that one of the principles in True Charity is it's not a resource problem, it's a relationship problem. And I heard you mention a lot in that, you know, the partnering and getting involved and hearing their story instead of just saying, here's some stuff you can have and here's something, you know. Can you explain a little bit about that, how the partnering happens and why that's such a major, like every one of your locations, that's a big part of Watering Gardens.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that we, James and Marsha Whitford, which is our executive director, and his wife will say is that when they first started, they were handing out sandwiches out of the back of their minivan, that they had a heart for the poor, but not a mind for the poor. And so meeting those needs creates a cycle of dependency. So there's this idea that if I give you something once, you appreciate it. If I give you something twice, you're going to anticipate that I'll do it again. By the third time, you expect that I'm going to do it a fourth time. By the fourth time, you feel entitled to that. And by the fifth time, you're completely dependent on me to meet that need. And now we're in this relationship where I'm the giver and you're the receiver. And there's a lot of shame to that, to always being on the receiving end of another person's benevolence. And that's not how God created us. We want to be in right relationships. You know, we're designed by a designer. We're created by a creator. And so in that, if we're, you know, to be in the image of God, we want to create, we want to be in right standing with people. And so this partnership, you know, I have something that I can give, food, clothing, shelter, and you have something that you can give in exchange, which is time. So we have lots of opportunities for partnership. You know, it could be that someone that's not able-bodied needs to partner. They could be sorting coffee beans. which is your redeemed bean that you're drinking this morning. We have our Forge students that are coming in to partner that are learning the roasting process, which is a great job skill because how many coffee shops are on every corner right now? They're learning those skills inside partnership, or you know, maybe your more able-bodied person is recycling an air conditioner and they're pulling those copper rods out, which we think, what the heck are you gonna do with that? Well, then it comes over to the craft side, it gets pressed, it gets polished, it gets stamped, and then maybe one of y'all at your retreats have purchased a copper bracelet from us, and somebody was redignified through that process, and it's a beautiful thing to watch happen amongst us.
Since Martha's not here to talk about Washington Hope, we're gonna watch a video from Martha here in a little bit, but what's the goal with the Washington Hope Family Center? Like, what's the end goal for all of the ladies who come in there?
Yeah, so the goal for moms is to be able to live independently. The same goals kind of go across all of our different campuses, that we want to see people off of government assistance, privately insured, working in whatever capacity they're able to be working. Out of dependence, really, is just walking into freedom, building good relationships. For our moms specifically, we're able, by the blessing of volunteers, to have childcare so moms can start working and start getting back on their feet so they're earning income so they can provide childcare and have housing, but also building community in the meantime, because a lot of these moms, they don't have a sister or cool aunt to watch their kids or a friend even. So we have volunteers that are just coming in and loving moms and building community and getting them plugged into the local church so that they can leave the shelter and not come back a few months later.
Yeah. That's great. You can kind of see the value of this already, right? So I want to switch over just a little bit, change gears a little bit. Cheryl's been serving at the Garden Exchange for quite a while, and a familiar face over there whenever I go to pick up coffee or drop stuff off to be disassembled. But share with us a little bit about your experience, like, you know, what all happens there, and what are some of the stories that you've been able to partake in? You know, how have you seen Jesus happen, you know, in the hands and feet of people there?
Well, I work several places. I work in the back room where we receive donations. Sometimes they're not so good, but sometimes they even have tags on them. I mean, they're really nice clothes, and we keep the very best for the people that are out there because they're actually working for them, but what we call that is partnering. They don't just hand out stuff, they partner for it, which gives them some type of worth that I earned this, I worked for this. We want to get them on their feet so that they can be on their own. And the exciting part is seeing them come in and they're drug addicts or they're alcoholics, but to see them in a few months and they're getting out on their own. We take furniture, we give them furniture, we give them pots and pans and stuff that you might have sitting around that you don't use. They come in and they get that for their apartment, and they come out and they're so excited. Hey, I got an apartment today and I need some things. And yeah, we can handle that. We can give you what you need. And they work for that and they go, I earned this. We had a young mother come in and her husband, and they said, we desperately need a car seat. And I said, oh, yes, you do. And she said, but we don't have any money. And I said, well, you can partner for that. And so they went over and they partnered, and we got the car seat out, and they saw it, and the mother just cried. And I said, what are you crying for? And she says, I'm just so excited for this car seat. And I said, well, you earned that. So you should be proud of yourself. So many times these people are just so down that it just breaks your heart. But God put you there for a reason. And a lot of times, sometimes you just stop and say, can I pray for you? Can I just pray for you? And a lot, sometimes it's no, but that's okay, because the next time it's going to be yes. Yes, they want you to pray for them. And when they do good, they come back and they go, oh, Miss Cheryl, guess what? And I go, what? And they go, I got an apartment. And it's exciting because These people have nothing. They come in there, they've been on the street sleeping. Young girls. It just breaks your heart. But I try to encourage them and give them, know that God is there. And sometimes they come in, they go, you know, God's really not working for me. And I go, well, you've got to give it more time. God's time is not your time. And they come in there and they change. And the excitement you see when these Forge guys come in and they've been in jail, they've been locked up. They just want love. They just need love. They need hugs. They come in and they hug me every morning. I said, that's the best hug I had all day. You know, because I need that. I need that too. I need it, and I get blessed every day I go in. It's just awesome how just one little hug. But they come in there as men that are broken. And they come in there, and I go, would you do this for me, please? Thank you. You're so awesome. You know, just encourage them. In fact, I've prayed with lots of them when they think that, oh, I gave a bad devotion today. And I go, oh, man, you just said what God wanted you to say. You did great. But they just need encouragement. And they're great guys, and they leave there, and they have a job and a place to live. These are people that were homeless or in jail. And we can all do something. You can. I hang up clothes all day, and I put them in a hot box. We have a hot box that's 140 degrees, and we put everything in there so that it kills all the bugs. We even take mattresses that are good, and we put them in there, and they're just like new when they come out. They're just no bugs, no bugs. We don't want to have bugs, but it's just awesome. They're so grateful for any little thing that you can give them, clothes, socks. And some of them are real grateful. They'll come in, they go, oh, I needed this new pair of shoes. Look at the holes in my shoes. And they show me and I go, oh yeah. They go, you wanna take these back and use them? I go, nope, I think those are good. We'll just put them in the recycle. But we recycle things that we can't use. And then we do sell that to another company that comes that has thrift shops, and they use what we can't use. We can't use whiskey or tobacco products on shirts and stuff, and we don't sell company shirts, people that has names on them of companies and things. So we recycle those. So everything is used, everything.
Share a little bit about, like, what does a day look like for you working in the Garden Exchange? What are you mentioned hanging clothes and working in the back and receiving stuff. What other kind of things do you do in case somebody's interested in maybe helping out at the Garden Exchange?
Okay, we also have the thrift shop. And now the thrift shop is open for everyone. So you can come in there and get a brand spanking pair of jeans that are just brand new for $10. All their prices are low. But you can come and shop. They have shoes and furniture and clothes and
little kitchen appliances.
Little appliances. And so I work in there too. We put everything in the computer, what they get, and then how much time they need to work for what they're getting.
And the hours. I know that the hours aren't all day. So to let people know what time involvement that you how long are you there in the morning?
We're there from 9 to 2 on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday. And I'm usually there 3 days a week. I've been there 2 years. I also make coffee when I roast the coffee and grind it. That's always fun. I go home and my dog just licks me all over. I think he likes coffee, but I don't drink it, so. But it's real fun to make. I enjoy doing that part of it too.
That's great. At this point, I think we'll go ahead and show the video from Martha. Martha's at the retreat. They're on their way back, but she wanted to still be able to share. So I went to Water Gardens. She actually was there that day, and I shot some footage of her, and she just wanted to share this with you. So we'll go ahead and watch that here now.
Hi, I'm Martha Zustiak, and I'm sorry I can't be with you this Sunday, but I'm having a lot of fun at the ladies' retreat this weekend. But I also wanted to give you some ideas about how I volunteer and what opportunities are available for our church to be involved. After our family moved to Joplin from Alabama in 2020, a year into settling in, I was looking for something to kind of keep up my, or take up my time from, I was homeschooling before. And my brother-in-law, Aaron, and stepdaughter, Alicia, both suggested some places, and one was Water Gardens. And that when they described the vision to me, I wanted to know more about it. So I took a tour of both places that I was interested in volunteering. And it was about a year and a half into serving when I was going through the True Charity training, I realized that God wanted me to do more than just get a list of jobs done. It was about connecting and getting to know the kids, getting to know the stories of the people. I serve at Water Gardens in two different areas. One is the Washington Family Hope Center, which serves the women and children, have a safe place to start again. And the Outreach Center, where they have services for clothing, for groceries, household items, and for those to be partnered for. Caroline and I, we volunteer on Tuesdays at the Washington Family Hope Center, and we help out two staff members there, Brittany and Adrian, and we help with kids from birth to 5 years old. And we help with various things, like we read to them, we take them outside and play with them, help them play together with their peers. And then we kind of help with their lunchtime and kind of sit with them as they're trying to settle down for their naps. And then on Thursdays, I volunteer at the Outreach Center. And we do that from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And we start off with devotions in the morning, and they're given by a staff member or a Forge student or a guest speaker. And then we work alongside with the office manager, Tanya, and we greet the residents and the people who are coming in for services. And we do some light data entry and we just kind of check people in for different things, like for groceries. And then we sort mail. People can have, who need a mailing address can have it sent to Water Gardens, and we sort and we hand out the mail. We answer phones, and we offer to pray for people. When I go to childcare, it's connecting with them and through encouraging them to use their manners, or finding a way that makes them laugh. There was a little boy who was kind of shy and kind of scared when I would approach him, and we got to playing, and he handed me a play food, and I acted like it was spicy, and he just laughed, and his smile was priceless. And there was one day when serving at the office, a lady who was waiting to shop for groceries, she was clearly upset, and I asked her if I could pray for her. She later then returned with a list of prayer requests. And within a couple of weeks, she saw me across the parking lot and she yelled out and she was waving, had a big smile on her face. And she told me how things were going better in her life and that she wanted to be baptized. And so that was exciting to be a little bit part of that and to celebrate with them in those moments. It's within these moments that we're connecting with the people in their lives rather than just getting things done. And we get to celebrate how God is working in their lives. That is why I want to encourage you to be a part of this mission here at Water Gardens, however you can. whether it's getting together with your friends and making a meal for one of the three campuses, bringing in travel-sized shampoos and soaps, donating extra harvest or pantry items for the mission market, donating clothes for or household items for the garden exchange, donating your broken appliances or electronics to the Worth Shop for a breakdown of recycling items, and then that money goes to back to the mission. Looking for gift ideas, you could shop online with Project Worth, and they have coffee, bars of soap, leather copper bracelets, and leather-bound journals. All of these items are made in-house, and the money goes back to the mission. There are so many ways to support Water Gardens, so pray about where you can give or serve. Thank you. Hi, I'm Martha Zustiak.
So that you get a good idea of how she serves and the blessing of being able to help people and the impact that you can have on their lives. And it's funny because there are things that you don't think about, like mail, right? There are things that we take for granted. If you're homeless and the government is going to be sending you something or you need proof of something to get a job, something like that, where do they send your mail? You don't have P.O. Box, you don't have a residence, and most of the people that are in this situation, they don't have, again, we talked about relationships, they don't have people that like my brother or my grandma's house or my friend's house where I can send that stuff because they've broken those relationships. They've burned a lot of the bridges or they've run away from all of their relationships to a place where they don't have to deal with all the drama. And just think about that. There are simple things like that where they can have their mail sent to Water Gardens and get things. It's just things that you don't normally think about because we're not homeless. We're not in that situation. And so there's a couple different ways that we can have an impact through Water Gardens. I'll let Josh share his because he has a totally different service that he participates in as a sponsor.
Thanks, Aaron. What I do is once a month I serve as an RA or a resident assistant over at Water Gardens. The technical description from their website. They come to the shelter at any time between 7 and 8 p.m., arriving after residents have checked in and been given the chance to eat dinner. The RA assists the evening staff with oversight of activities in the lower shelter. In addition, the RA locks the shelter at the arranged time, sets the alarm, and is present overnight in case any unforeseen issues arise. The RA is able to sleep in a private room and then at 5 a.m. oversees residents as they begin their day while also receiving new guests from outside. The RA remains on site as the volunteer breakfast crew arrives anytime between 5 and 6. And as the morning staff person arrives during the 6 o'clock hour. Now, a more quick and easy description is, I make connection with guests, as people have talked about, make sure that everyone's in their dorm at the right time, that doors are shut, lights are off, the alarm is on, and that whoever is coming in to make breakfast that next morning is able to get into the building. Now, there's a number of things that happen and occur that aren't being mentioned. One, you're responsible for making the coffee for over 50 people who typically drink multiple cups in the morning. You'll also need to deal with people who might get irate with you at the drop of a hat. You'll need to interact with the Joplin police when they come in and take someone. You'll have to be rationally cognizant in medical emergencies like epileptic seizures, high fevers, and someone passing out. Sometimes you even have to call the ambulance to take them to the hospital. You might need to break up a fight, or at least get it out of the building. You need to handle with grace being lied to, attempts at manipulation, or possibly being yelled at. And please note the things that I've mentioned here, they don't happen all the time. Some nights have been easy and they've gone smooth like clockwork. Sometimes it's like, the moon came out and everybody's barking. You may ask why I continue to do this volunteering. One, it's, as Aaron mentioned, it's because God asks us to give of ourselves and our time. Two, because I've seen the results of when it works. I've seen people who were previously homeless and on the street get jobs and apartments or even their own trailer and make it out. One got a job and insurance, and because it was the first time they'd ever dealt with insurance before, they'd asked how they could find a local dentist for their daughter. It's an amazing thing, and it's rather inspiring when you get to see that particular transformation occur. And it's nice to be part of that, even in the small way that you are. And third, the reason I do it is because it's not something that everybody can do. It's not typically something that's, especially for guys who are looking for something that is a little more challenging or that is, how do I describe it? Something that is peculiar to their capabilities. Being an overnight RA would be, I think, satisfying to that. If you want to be someone who is there and can handle and step in when needed, but you're going to need discernment, you're going to need grace, and you know, the team there at Water Gardens will help you along the way. We shadow someone first, you know, kind of get the ropes, learn it, and then they've even been available, some of the team, late at night, something happens, number of times the alarm goes off because people aren't obeying the rules and they open doors, they come out when they're not supposed to. It's like, you know, 3 a.m, like, oh, why? But yeah, if you feel a need to do something more as a gentleman, then I think this would be a good one to do. And they definitely need people during the weekdays. Because I'm working and because I'm, you know, with family, I can typically cannot do it during the work days. I can only do it on the weekends. But if you've got that availability, you know, they'd love to have you.
So my next encouragement to you, as we start to wrap this up, is if you're interested in any of this, ask questions. You know, find Josh, find Cheryl, find Martha at some point and just say, hey, can you tell me more about this? I'm interested, but I'm a little nervous. And they'd love to answer questions or catch Bree after the service here, and she'd be happy to answer some questions for you. Lot of different ways that you can serve. They need people to help with watching the kids at the Hope Center, with babysitting and just playing with them. And they need people to sort clothes and help receive donations. They need people to come in and just partner, like just mostly it's a matter of being kind to somebody who's not used to kindness, and they deserve it because it's the human dignity that everyone's made in the image of God equally, and so they deserve that to be treated like a person. And so I have a couple more questions, and I don't want to just totally surprise you on these, but why is Water Gardens necessary? You know, doesn't the government just provide for people? Isn't there plenty of help from the government?
I like to just have to sigh. Yeah. So I like to kind of put a little analogy with this. You know, you think with a food stamps card, that card is going to come in the mail. And then it's going to be loaded with dollars for specific things. So you go to the grocery store, you buy your stuff, you use your food stamps, you come home, or they're selling food stamps. Who even knows? You have the money, you use it for whatever, you come back home. That card is not going to ask you why you need food stamps. That card's not going to ask you how you're doing in your walk with Jesus. It's not going to ask you how you're doing in your walk with society, because that's hard on its own. It's not a relationship. There's no relationship to government assistance. And we're meant to be in relationship. We're meant to be in community. We're made to be in community. And isolation it's intense. And it's happening just so much more aggressively than really ever before, in such a busy place and to be with so many people. So, really the difference is community. At Watered Gardens, you're going to know somebody. you're going to have a Martha that's going to ask if they can pray for you. And with that lady's list, it was very clear no one had prayed for her in a minute. So that handout is just, it's toxic. You know, it never challenges you to step out of any of that. And it's just going to completely make you dependent in a way that need's going to be met, and it's going to keep you quiet, and it's going to keep you in that place where the Lord wants you to escape that. He wants you out of that situation. So we want to help that.
How big a need and how urgent is the need right now for a place like Watered Gardens?
Yeah. We always have a wait list, and every place in town has a wait list. You know, on top of the normal, I say normal, on top of what we kind of already understand as trauma, there's a lot of drugs that are going around that are on a different level than I think has existed before this time, which is creating a mental health crisis that we've not had before in a bigger way. It's magnifying mental health crisis. And so as that's happening, more people are on the streets and more people are having the need. And then there's more community being built outside of the shelter that it's growing. I mean, and honestly, like, it's hard to buy groceries. I have 4 kids. I get it. So we don't only serve the homeless, we serve the poor. And so as inflation is doing its thing and groceries are more expensive, we have a place for a mom who's working full time, who lives independently, just can't get to that next paycheck. I mean, and we're seeing that. We've been blessed with more donations coming in, and we would appreciate prayer and donation to any of those areas, because more people are coming because the need is that great.
So, 2 last things. One, if you're interested, we are going to take up an offering today for Watered Gardens. You can write a check if you want and put it in the boxes, or there's envelopes there by our boxes where if you want to give cash towards it, you can put it in one of those envelopes and just mark that for Watered Gardens, and we'll get that to them. If you're moved by what you're hearing today and by the Lord to give towards that, or you can also send it to the office during the week, and we'll add that to the list if you're unprepared to do that today. But we want to be a blessing to our gardens on top of the money that we've already committed to give every year. So the last thing, you had mentioned that there's an event coming up next month.
Yeah.
And so share that with us. And then I've got a scripture I want to read, and I'll close with prayer.
Yeah, so we are having an event in October on the 12th. That's a Saturday, and we're calling it Fellowship Night. And it's just a celebration of community. And that celebration is for you all, for the local church. We've seen just amazing things happen through the efforts of the local church. You know, I said we exist to serve the local church, and really it's a place for you all to come in and to engage with the homeless. Our vision is to see the church boldly engaged. And so we've seen that, and we've seen the Lord multiply those efforts. And so we just want to spend an evening celebrating y'all and having some testimonies shared and some worship done together. We're going to have food trucks and yard games and music, and it's just going to be a really great night for the local church rather than us coming to each individual church, for us all to just get together and just praise God for what he's done in the ministry over the years.
And she's going to, we'll have some videos and some announcements for that over the next couple of weeks, so keep you updated on that and give you more details. So I just wanted to share Isaiah 58:11. Which might make sense to you here in just a moment. It says, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fall." So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to hear the testimonies today, and I pray that they have been insightful and given some good information, but also I pray, Father, that there are people that are considering to pursue maybe using their time and their talents to help with Watered Gardens. We appreciate them, and we pray a blessing upon them for the work that they do, and we pray, Father, that all the resources that they need will present themselves so they can continue to expand the Washington Hope Family Center, even the Outreach Center, more places to be able to stay, but also that when they expand, they're going to need more people to work and volunteer. And we pray for those people to come forward and present themselves. But we pray a blessing upon the offering today. And we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be able to gather in your name. We thank you for Jesus and for the grace that we receive through him. It is in his name that I pray. Amen. Have a good week. Go and be the church.